This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Candace Lim, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And Candace, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
Are you familiar with writer and reporter Delia Kai? She is currently the senior vanities correspondent at Vanity Fair, which means she writes about like TikTok turning Fashion Week into pure chaos, or is the one who is interviewing Jada Pinkett Smith about her memoir.
Oh, yes. I love her. Central Places, her book came out last year. We love Delia.
We do. She's written for so many places, but I specifically want to talk about her incredible newsletter, D's Links, which,
yes,
great name for a great newsletter. Mm-hmm. She's currently doing a pop-up within D's Links called Hate Read that I am obsessed with. Let me read how Delia describes the kind of mission of this pop-up. She writes, "There are wicked judgments festering inside of us all, with nowhere to go, thanks to stan culture and like editors and also the reality of careerism conducted on a sinking Titanic raft of an industry.
Ooh.
The ship is obviously already gone. We're fighting over the last dinghy now. Twitter's broken. Log rolling never went away. Your institutions and mine are crumbly. Think of all the potent dark energy swirling around right now with no blog to call home. Until now, I've assembled a team. Well, actually, I've put together a pop-up newsletter called Hate Read, where a dozen of our favorite writers from the internet rant and review about stuff they hate anonymously, though you might have some fun dissecting those pen names."
Wow. I mean, first off, Rachel, I need to know, have you been tapped to write something for this? Because I'd really love for you to anonymously write about, oh, I don't know, your co-host who is also anonymous.
I would never do that because I think it would very quickly become not anonymous. But also, as of right now, no, I have not been tapped. But Delia, if you're listening, I would love to be a part of it. I do think Corey Secha has been tapped based on what he said in his newsletter. But I don't know who wrote what, and at the time of recording, two installments of Hate Read have come out, and both of them are bangers. One is basically a polemic against people who don't share their food at a group dinner, which I absolutely agree with, and includes this incredible passage. "Not sharing food strips the meal of its role as a communal experience. What are we going to talk about? How creamy your risotto that I apparently cannot touch is? No. Not sharing food is like going to the movies with a big crew and then splitting off for separate theaters, watching completely different movies, and then meeting up again. You can discuss what you've each seen. But then what was the point of going together in the first place?"
I agree. Anon hater. Also, Rachel, think of all the like meet cute possibilities, you know? Imagine it, interior, your friend says, "Hey, can I bring a friend?" And you're like, "Oh, whatever." But then you're at this table and you reach for the chicken tender and oh, you feel not a chicken, but a hand. And it's that friend of a friend reaching for the same tender. And then all of a sudden you're married.
You're in love.
Yes.
The second installment in Hate Reads was about Corey Jefferson's movie American Fiction, which is an adaptation of Percival Everett's book Erasure, which I have been seeing a lot of discourse about. I haven't watched it yet, so I'm not going to say anything, but let's just say the streets are hot.
And it's kind of funny because one of my favorite Delia newsletters was an interview she did with Corey Jefferson, so I like that she's taking shots, as she should, because we don't roast, we rail. Exactly.
Exactly. And I love this idea. I love well-written criticism. I love that it's anonymous and vetted by Delia, who I trust with my life. I love, importantly, being a hater.
Yes.
Thank you, Delia, for this outlet. You're an icon, and I am waiting for the next installment of Hate Reads in my inbox as we speak.
Amen.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for hateration and holleration in this dancery. Mary J. Blige fans, stand up. All of you should be standing up. Except, not really, because today's episode is kind of about hateration that potentially has consequences for us all. The U.S. government's hateration for TikTok. Earlier this year, Candace, you did an episode about TikTok battling Universal Music Group, which resulted in some pretty big artists getting their music taken down from the app. But now, TikTok has a bigger foe, the federal government. Mm-hmm. Also my foe.
Oh. Well, yes. And today, we're going through the things that you need to know about the possible U.S. TikTok ban and where do we go from here? So, we'll talk about children crying on voicemails to their senators, why lawmakers are determined to not call this a ban, and what this says about the deletion of our collective internet history after the break.
Hi, y'all. If you love our podcast, then please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. When you subscribe to Slate Plus, you get no ads on any Slate podcasts. You will also be supporting the show. ICYMI would not be possible without the support of Slate Plus subscribers. You will also get bonus segments or episodes on shows like Slow Burn, Amicus, Mom and Dad Are Fighting, and Big Mood, Little Mood. And you will also get unlimited reading on the Slate website, which means you get access to every single article and advice column on Slate without ever hitting the paywall. Just visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to sign up. That is slate.com/ICYMI+.
If debit is your go-to card, Discover thinks it's time you get rewarded too. So check out Discover Cashback Debit, a game-changing checking account with cash back on everyday debit card purchases. That's right, cashback isn't just for credit cards anymore. Whether it's a movie date, flea market find, or midday latte, you can start earning cash back, and there are no fees, period. Check out transaction eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
Did you know that 35% of adults report experiencing poor sleep quality? Discover the secret to better sleep with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. When I took my Cozy Earth sheets out of their packaging, which, by the way, was the cutest little canvas tote bag, I quite literally gasped because these are the softest sheets I have ever touched in my life. So soft that I then made my roommate touch them to confirm that they were that soft. I've been getting such great sleep since I started sleeping with them. I'm obsessed. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature regulating technology, adapting to your body's needs, ensuring a sleep experience tailored to you. They use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. Enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. That is a decade of unparalleled comfort and support. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to ultimate comfort with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep health. Head over to CozyEarth.com and use promo code ONLINE for an exclusive 35% off. Upgrade your nights, transform your days with Cozy Earth. And we're back. So on today's episode, we're going to try and break down the things you need to know about the possible upcoming U.S. TikTok ban. And let's start with the most obvious fact. We've been here before.
Mm-hmm. So do you remember back in 2020 in the throes of the COVID lockdown, one former President Trump signed this executive order to ban TikTok, saying he had national security concerns and therefore an American company needed to buy TikTok. Otherwise, it was going to be banned in the U.S.
Yeah, I kind of remember this. Mostly, I say kind of because it was 2020 and that entire year is just kind of a blank space in my head. But right. I remember this happening. And I also remember that I don't think I was on TikTok at this point.
Same. No, literally, I was in the same place where at this point in 2020, I just had not boarded the TikTok train. I think we both knew about it, but we were able to kind of resist.
Yes.
And I think the like collective cultural context is important here because, you know, we were in like season two of the lockdown. It was summer. Mm-hmm. I think the fear was kind of the most prevalent sentiment spreading around social media, which, by the way, was probably the only interaction we were having with other people we did not live with. And so I downloaded TikTok because the rumor that was kind of going around was like, oh, the executive order is banning new downloads. So you need to download it now because after 45 days, you will not find it on the App Store.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, as we sit here right now, having full access to TikTok, all this fear-mongering kind of becomes moot because TikTok didn't end up selling to a U.S. company. Instead, they partnered with Oracle, which is a software company. And basically, TikTok's user data is now routed through Oracle's server. So like a server facility in Texas. Mm-hmm. Oracle reviews TikTok's source code, checks their software, reviews their updates, and basically oversees all tech operations for TikTok in the US. And so for 3 years, TikTok was deemed safe to use on US soil.
And I think this fear of like losing our most beloved social media platforms has been a recurring theme in the last 3 years. I mean, let's talk about 2022. When Elon Musk acquired Twitter, people were worried, obviously, because he sucks. And considering his personal politics, there were a lot of questions about whether he would inflict them on the site itself. So, for example, he banned journalists on Twitter who had covered him aggressively. So will he ban all journalists at some point? His transphobic, homophobic tweets? What's his policy going to be on deplatforming users who also engage in hate speech and harassment? I mean, people were essentially bracing for impact.
Mm-hmm. And people were also scared because in November 2022, Elon started these mass layoffs at Twitter. He laid off half of Twitter's workforce in about a week. And by the end of 2023, he had laid off over 80% of Twitter's entire workforce. And these employees were tweeting about it, posting videos about clocking out for the last time and about being locked out of their Slack and email accounts. It was brutal to watch. And on top of people losing their jobs, there was also the open question about site maintenance. All these people had to have been hired for a reason. Their jobs existed for some function that kept the company running. There was a concern that Elon laying off the engineers and developers and product managers that make Twitter run would result in the site just going kaput. Like the servers would break, the wires would disconnect, and Twitter would be gone at any moment.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the fears we like personally had around this time. You can find it in our episode about the biggest internet moments of 2023. But let me ask you this. Are you still on Twitter, Rachel?
I am. Mm-hmm. I am. I mean, I think this job demands that we both stay on these platforms, whether they're dying or not. And I'm not on as much as I used to be. I think I actually kind of broke my Twitter addiction thanks to the site going down in quality. I almost never tweet anymore. Because while the site obviously didn't disappear, the average user experience has declined in pretty significant ways. There's the new form of bots responding, pussy in bio. So there's the porn bots, and then there's the obnoxious Twitter blue users and the fact that their stupid tweets are always prioritized higher in replies. And then there's the way that the algorithms have been juiced in some weird way that tends to result in your innocuous tweet ending up in front of people who would take issue with a picture of a puppy because it didn't include a disclaimer that some people have puppy trauma. And despite all that, I'm still checking Twitter as soon as I find out anything important. Like Kate Middleton's whereabouts, I'm on Twitter. Diddy's house,
right?
Both houses getting raided, I'm on Twitter.
Right. And so am I, because I think this like strong mass reaction of people freaking out at the idea of their social media platform going down or going away just kind of seems to keep repeating itself. Like we had that fear, we held it, and then it kind of dissolved, but we are still on Twitter watching Kieran Culkin fan cams before bed, and they still play, trust me.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe dissolve isn't the right word, not least because of all those ways that Twitter has gotten discernibly worse that I just mentioned, but also because those fears are resurfacing with this possible TikTok ban.
Yeah. So since Trump's executive order, there have been policymakers trying to make these small moves to hone in on TikTok's impact. For example, in December 2022, Biden signed a law that banned the app from federal devices. And this was mainly out of fear that TikTok had some sort of ability to grab info from the phone or user, which is a thing that apps, which are software, can do in theory. Think of it like the same way an employer might say, don't download certain things on a work computer because it could be a security risk. Still, there are two things I find funny with this. Number one, the Biden admin says employees put the TikTok down. And then a year later, the Biden campaign says, I'm joining TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second, I guess, yeah, I'd really prefer my FBI agent not to scroll TikTok while they're raiding my house. Thank you so much, Joe. Regardless, I think this showed that TikTok was such a popular app that even Biden's own administration was obsessed with it.
And then a state kind of took up the banning TikTok mantle, right?
Mm-hmm. Because in May of 2023, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte signed the Montana Consumer Data Privacy Act into law, making Montana the first state to sign legislation banning TikTok.
Fear not, because a few months later, a federal judge blocked the ban before it even went into effect. So obviously, as we all know by the fact that Montana is still online, they're still free to keep posting their Stanley Cup hauls or whatever the fuck they do in Montana. Hello, mm-hmm. Montana listeners. We love you. But also, this ban raised so many questions for me. The first one is, what would a single state ban of an app even look like? Because this quickly becomes a commerce issue of, would an influencer have to move to a different state in order to make money off of TikTok? But maybe more pressing to me, how do you regulate something like this? If I'm in Wyoming and I cross into Montana, does the app just stop working? It seems hard to create infrastructure around digital borders. And no one's gonna stop me from my Hozier edits, even if I do move to Helena, Montana.
Yeah, and you're asking the right questions because, you know, before Montana signed this legislation, the House Committee on Energy and Commerce held this hearing to explore the possibility of a TikTok ban in the U.S. TikTok CEO Shou-Zi Chew testified, and they grilled him on everything from, is TikTok harming children, to is China's Communist Party using TikTok to spy on the American people? And according to CNN, TikTok CEO stressed that this company is not an arm of the Chinese government. He was like, TikTok's HQs are in LA and Singapore. We employ 7,000 people in the US. And he said that TikTok is not even available in mainland China.
Okay, I have a question.
Mm.
Is that just like corporate spin? Because that doesn't make sense to me. Is like the Chinese version of TikTok available in mainland China? Like, I've definitely seen TikToks from Chinese users on my feed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like TikTok, the app, isn't like available on their app stores, but they have a version of it called Douyin, which translates to shaking sound, TikTok in a way. So it has a different name, different algorithm, but the same logo. And so according to an article by Max Zahn for ABC News, it's pretty much the same. You know, there's skits and there's day in my lives and things like that. But also it apparently has like a child's version of the app that's modified to be more educational, which is kind of interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay. But back to this hearing. TikTok CEO, does he do enough to convince the House to lay off his back?
No, because the committee walks out in support of a full ban on TikTok. And that brings us to present day, March 13th, 2024, when the House of Representatives votes to approve a bipartisan bill, meaning they've got support from Democrats and Republicans, that would require ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, to sell TikTok or face a ban on all U.S. devices. And this passes overwhelmingly, like 352 yes to 65 no.
So this is around where I started to actually pay attention to the banning TikTok chatter. I was just like, this is going to be like student loan debt where nothing's going to fucking happen. We're just going to talk about it for years. But now it seems like something's going to happen. What's going to happen?
Right. And that's actually a pretty good comparison because we are in an election year. We'll get to that later. But, you know, this bill is not going to become law anytime soon because it has to go to the Senate and then the president has to sign it. And Joe Biden has said that he will sign the bill if it gets to his desk. But the Senate seems kind of unsure on where they stand.
So who wants this to pass? You said it's a bipartisan bill. So it seems like everybody wants this to pass.
Yeah, we have some interesting characters here. So Slate's senior politics writer, Jim Newell, did some reporting about what lawmakers on both sides are saying about the ban. And one tiff is about this word. Ban. A lot of Congress people and senators are saying this is not a ban. This is a detaching from ByteDance. So, for example, Newell wrote that Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut is voting yes because, quote, we're not talking about messing with it. We're not talking about screwing around with an asset. We're not talking about disabling it. We're talking about disarming it, which to me kind of sounds like Second Amendment language to me, but whatever.
Okay, right? Right?
Thank you. Thank you. And then Jim also quoted Virginia Senator Mark Warner, who said, quote, this is not about trying to get rid of the creativity. This is not about trying to eliminate your ability to make money if you're a social influencer. Which, when you're using the phrase social influencer, I'm out. I'm out. I'm out.
And that's fair. And that's fair. That's so fair. What I find interesting are two of the people who have come out and said they're also for this ban. Joe Biden, who we just mentioned. I don't know why I'm ever surprised by what that man does, but I still am. And then Senator John Fetterman.
Yeah. So John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, who, let us know, was very praiseful when he won his Senate campaign off the work his digital strategist did on TikTok, said he's voting yes. That strategist, by the way, Annie Wu Henry, tweeted that, quote, if there's a TikTok ban, everyone loses. Biden said he's going to sign the bill, which once again is funny, considering his reelection campaign has actively tried to win young voters on TikTok for the past 2 months.
Okay, so we know who is surprisingly for this. Who's against it?
Well, there are some senators like Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts who said this ban was, quote, missing the big tech forest for the TikTok trees.
Okay.
Which is such a bar. I mean, whoever his speechwriter is, jump into the booth with Jay now. Oh. Then we have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, AOC, also voted no, saying it was incredibly rushed in that, quote, there are serious antitrust and privacy questions here. Now, the guest list gets not so great from here because joining the no side is Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia.
Yeah.
Who said that as someone who was banned on Twitter, she's opposed to a tech giant like Facebook buying TikTok, especially when, quote, most of the time my posts on Facebook are shadow banned. And hey, she's speaking her truth. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's a free world. Do what you want.
But I gotta say, most hilariously, Trump, he's come out and said he is against this ban.
He's against the TikTok ban?
Mm-hmm.
The TikTok ban that he tried to do in 2020? I feel like that's like George Bush leaving the White House and saying, you know what? Those kids, they can be left behind. Fuck those kids.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Trump talked to CNBC and said that selling TikTok would only boost the monopoly of Facebook, which he calls a, quote, enemy of the people, and that there are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it.
I mean, the thing is, neither of those things are technically wrong. Facebook is an enemy of the people, but not for the reasons that Trump is saying. And there are a lot of young kids on TikTok who go crazy without it. So broken clock twice a day.
I was thinking that. I was thinking that. Yeah.
But let's talk about these kids, because the kind of funniest thing I've seen in response to this bill is that there are children calling their senators and crying because they're like, why are you taking TikTok away? Why do you hate TikTok? Why do you hate me?
Which sounds like an episode of Parks and Rec, right? I mean, TikTok, the company, is not exactly passive in all of this because they have kind of been helping kids make these calls. So before the bill passed, users were reportedly opening TikTok and seeing a message from the company that said, "Stop a TikTok shutdown. Mm-hmm. Let Congress know what TikTok means to you and tell them to vote no." And then there's like a button for people to just call their reps directly. And this is such an interesting chapter in AP mm-hmm. Gov because, you know, we are so used to having politicians and campaigns reaching us, the voters, directly via calls and texts and emails with subject lines like all caps, "Nancy Pelosi needs your help."
Oh, my God.
But now they are appealing to the ethos of TikTok's most prime and susceptible non-voting age group.
Yeah.
The kids. And I get why these kids would feel that call to action because their favorite app is telling them, call your senator, call them now.
Exactly. Like if you're a child, you're 8, you're 9, you're 10, and that is allegedly the ages of these children calling their senators, mm-hmm. and you're watching TikTok and you see a phone number pop up in a post that's like, call this number to stop the ban. It's so easy to just click the number, follow the instructions, and leave a voicemail. Is this perhaps the worst thing TikTok could have done to prove to government officials that they don't have undue influence over America's children?
Right.
Maybe. And just to kind of give a sense of how intense these calls are, here's a voicemail that North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis posted on Twitter that he claims is from a child who called this office about this ban.
Okay, listen. If you ban TikTok, I will find you and shoot you. That's people's jobs, and that's my only entertainment. And people make money out there too, you know. I'm trying to get rich like that. Anyways, I'll shoot you and find you and cut you into pieces. Bye.
I want to note that a lot of these calls have allegedly been happening while kids are at school, so that's why you'll hear them like on the playground, which is another issue entirely. But Rachel, thoughts?
You know, when you say, I believe the children are the future, I think the next line is teach them well.
Oh, right.
And like, let's maybe listen to Whitney on this one because that voicemail was hilarious. I will say I did laugh, but maybe
it was
not
a little intense.
A little intense. Also, I'm not persuaded that TikTok needs to be banned. If a child called me and was just like, I'm going to cry because of this, I'd be like, maybe this should be gone.
Yeah, it's so intense. And here's the thing. The kids are not the only ones freaking out about this because TikTok creators are also clearly worried about their platform and their business and their following who has to basically migrate to another platform. But that brings up a bigger question. What's the next TikTok? Is there one? And what does that even look like?
And let's hold that question, Senator, because we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to ask what our world looks like without TikTok.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. So before we get into how people will be personally affected by the TikTok ban, I'm not gonna lie, I'm still a little confused about this bill that was passed. Like, what does a US ban even look like? Will I no longer be able to log on to TikTok like I couldn't log on to the internet in my school? What's going on?
Oh, no, these are good questions. And here is what they're proposing. If the bill passes in Senate, ByteDance has 180 days or like six-ish months to sell off TikTok. If they don't, they will be taken off the App Store in the US, so you can't download it anymore. Now, if you already have TikTok downloaded on your phone, then it's kind of hard to enact the ban from there. But the bill is saying that if an app store violates this legislation and chooses to keep TikTok as like a downloadable app on their service, then they're going to fine you for it. And so they're proposing like a $5,000 fine per user or per download. So if you're Apple or you're Google, you are potentially getting fined for like $850 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I feel like the government is doing this in the hopes that basically a U.S. company will swoop in and buy TikTok. Is that actually on the table? Does someone have the money to buy TikTok?
It's definitely on the table, but it looks like it'll be harder than they think because there's reporting from NPR tech correspondent Bobby Allen, who wrote that TikTok is likely worth tens of billions of dollars. And that is not nothing, because back in 2020, Microsoft was in talks to buy TikTok. They dropped out. Walmart and Oracle were also in talks. That fell through. So no one knows if a tech company will come forward in time to say like, hey, we'll buy TikTok and keep it in the US. Now, Anna Edgerton from Bloomberg wrote in the Washington Edition newsletter about how pretty much no one is in a place right now to buy TikTok because, for example, this year alone, the federal government has sued Meta, Google, Amazon, and Apple for antitrust violations. So they're like busy dealing with that stuff. And even if a tech company does come forward, the Chinese government also has to approve that sale. And their Ministry of Commerce has said last year that they would, quote, firmly oppose a forced sale. And for all the lawmakers who are saying, but this isn't a ban, this isn't a ban, Anna wrote, if there's no one who could realistically buy it, that sure sounds like a ban.
I find it funny that the government is finally actually calling these companies out for antitrust violations at the moment where it's arguably the least convenient. I love our government. You brought up how they're trying to ban new downloads or new users. So some workarounds include downloading it now so you already have the app. But also, could you not just use a VPN or a virtual private network to make your phone think you're in a different country where TikTok is legal?
Probably. And TikTok will be like, wow, there are so many new users in Argentina. But I think the question that I keep asking is like, what is this really about? Because you'll notice that in a lot of these CEO testimonies, a lot of these statements from Congress people and senators voting yes, they bring up China. And specifically this fear that China is taking personal user data from the US and doing something with it. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman tweeted that the bill, quote, separates ties to the Chinese Communist Party. He added an emoji, continuing, and prevents them from accessing the data of Americans, especially our kids. The governor of Montana tweeted, quote, to protect Montanans' personal and private data from the Chinese Communist Party, I have banned TikTok in Montana. But one person who voted no on the bill in March is Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, who called this a, quote, xenophobic witch hunt and said that banning TikTok is not the answer. So, concerns over the Chinese government spying on Americans has become a very common defense in support of this bill, which is interesting because the bill itself says that they are going after any, quote, foreign adversary. But lawmakers on both sides are specifically naming China in their tweets and their statements. But I bring up Pocan because I think he's on to something. Because earlier this year in January, there was a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on child safety, where they asked the CEOs of X and Meta and Snap and Discord and TikTok whether social media is endangering children.
Oh, man. Anytime a tech CEO is in front of politicians, let alone five of them.
Mm-hmm. It's like Genius Bar Day at the retirement home.
Yes.
So after this hearing, Addie Robertson from The Verge wrote a piece called TikTok's CEO Can't Catch a Break from Xenophobia in Congress, where Robertson brings up this moment that happened about midway through the hearing when Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas presses TikTok's CEO about where he's from. And let's clarify, TikTok is owned by ByteDance, a Chinese company. The CEO of TikTok, Shou Zhichu, is Singaporean. Mm-hmm. And the Washington Post, Drew Harwell, described Cotton's pressing as McCarthy-esque because he keeps asking him, like, where's your passport from? Have you ever applied for citizenship in China or the U.S.? And then the senator asks, have you ever been a member of the Chinese Communist Party? And Chu literally says, Senator, I'm Singaporean. And Cotton probably thought, where's Singapore? Anyway.
He's like, is that in China?
Yeah. He was like, I thought that was here. And Cotton never makes it clear what Chu's citizenship has to do with child safety. And just to note, TikTok used to have an American CEO named Kevin Mayer, and he stepped down in 2021. And I just have to say, I don't know if a senator would ask Kevin Mayer, have you ever been a member of the Chinese Communist Party?
What's so frustrating about this is that there are important government and judicial questions to be asking the CEOs of tech companies, and none of them are, have you ever been a member of the Chinese Communist Party?
No.
Bobby Allen from NPR spoke about this on All Things Considered, and he said that this bill, these hearings, seem to be results of pent-up concern in Washington about China spying on Americans and pro-China propaganda online, and whether China is meddling in U.S. elections, which is obviously a hot topic because it's an election year, and the 2016 election famously was not without foreign interference.
Mm.
And TikTok seems to kind of be the conduit for all of these fears, whether they're founded or not.
Yeah. And if it's not really about China, then is it about social media as a whole? Because, you know, we have free speech and digital rights groups coming out to oppose this ban, saying that going after TikTok doesn't solve the bigger problem with tech's monopoly on our economy and society.
And social media as a whole has kind of been getting their ass handed to them this year, which they kind of deserve, because the Supreme Court is hearing two cases this summer about banning social media, and it's getting so complicated that they're bringing up Etsy. Which, unless you're going to stop the dropshippers from being on Etsy, keep your fucking hands off Etsy.
Yeah.
But more recently, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, just passed a law that bans anyone under 14 from having social media, which, again, feels like another thing you can't really enact. Do you know how many times I told the internet I was over the age of 18 when I was not?
Yeah. And, you know, these free speech and digital rights groups are saying instead of banning apps full stop, lawmakers should pass really comprehensive digital privacy laws that prevent all tech companies, not just TikTok, from selling personal data to data brokers. And one of those groups, the Electric Frontier Foundation, said that even if TikTok is banned or sold, there is nothing stopping anyone, any other foreign government, from just buying up that same data. But I think this was best said by Fight for the Future, a digital privacy rights group that said censorship is not the answer. Data privacy legislation is.
And I agree with them. Their concerns just make me think. They make me question in my little head, is this just about money? Is this just about getting TikTok's business back to the U.S. and basically making some already rich billionaire even richer?
Possibly. I mean, Thomas Germain of Gizmodo wrote this piece called "The Lawmakers Who Voted to Ban TikTok Own a Ton of Tech Stocks." And guess what? It's true. 44 of the Congress people who voted yes on the bill do own stocks that they reported, that we know of, for companies like Amazon and Google and Meta. And members of Congress can buy stocks of Oracle or Microsoft or any competitor who's interested in buying TikTok now or in the future.
Great.
But at the end of the day, I think the real people that will feel the brunt of this bill, of this ban, are TikTok creators and small business owners. You know, when this bill passed in the House, the Washington Post, Taylor Lorenz, talked to some people who were outside Capitol Hill. So this is small business owners, community advocates, educators, who said that they would definitely be affected by a ban. And this includes like programs and initiatives that TikTok has set up to pay creators for their content. Because according to TikTok, more than 7 million American businesses market or sell their products through the platform. And they are making real money via services like TikTok Shop.
And to be clear, that is TikTok caping for its own business.
Right.
But TikTok Shop is an incredibly integral part of the TikTok experience now. It's basically QVC, but on TikTok, where you as a person who makes a video can now link to a product that you mention. And if people buy through that link, then you get a portion of the sales. That means that if I decided to shill for CosRx, which is my favorite Korean skincare brand, if I decided to shill for them on TikTok, I could get a portion of the proceeds. Maybe not the best thing because it means everything's an ad now. But a lot of small businesses do use TikTok and they have said how great TikTok Shop has been for their businesses. Yes, these are small businesses, but TikTok is a huge storefront for their wares.
And so there have definitely been TikTok users coming out and saying things like, I'm worried about my main source of income. I'm worried about my money. I mean, this is a post from a user named @businesswithsab who basically says, if this ban happens, you need to figure out how to get your audience to migrate to another app for you.
Just last week, Facebook and Instagram were down. And now we are seeing in the news that TikTok could be potentially completely banned. You need to understand that if you are someone who makes your money from social media, you need to now figure out a way to get your audience off of this app, period. Because think about it, what are you going to do if there was a complete and total ban of TikTok? And now every single person that is in your community that supported you, that supported your business, now they're gone.
And the thing that any small business owner will tell you is that migrating audiences, migrating your business clientele from one service to another is very hard, and you will always have churn. You will always lose some portion of your customer base in that migration. So these creators will essentially have to rebuild their businesses that they relied on TikTok for. And even though it's digital, it's really not easy to basically start up a whole new business knowing you might not bring over 100% of your customers from the last one.
Yeah. And think about all the brands, like actual brands, who have hired social media marketers and branding agencies to specifically target their customers on TikTok. Like, that is work, that is labor, those are jobs that are at risk. I mean, think about the Duolingo owl. Where will he hoot, Rachel?
I'm going to be honest, I find that owl to be a malevolent presence.
Oh!
And he is lost in the TikTok ban. The TikTok ban might have been worth it. I find it interesting that on TikTok, creators are now basically posting their farewell messages, which is just a complete redux of the Twitter farewell messages where people were like, find me on Tumblr, find me on Mastodon, find me on Blue Sky, find me on Discord. I will find you anywhere. Which kind of brings up this bigger question that I feel like we've been trying to contend with for years, which is what happens to our collective internet history when our archives keep getting nuked by either platforms or, in this case, the government, which was kind of pretty much what our AO3 hacking episode was about.
And I keep thinking about something Serena Toros brought up in our Universal Music Group versus TikTok episode about how music, for example, has gone from a good to a service. Like, people expect it to be free or cheap. And in 2009, media scholar Ethan Zuckerman asked a similar question of, like, If it's so hard to find advertisers and make money off social media, then should we consider running it like a public good? Should it be Facebook.org, TikTok.org? And if the government is so worried about social media's effect on our users, then buy it. If you're so mad about a private company owning the service, then you fund it. But can I ask an even more meta question? Does this show exist without TikTok?
Ooh, I've thought about this. I've thought, if the TikTok ban happens, am I finally free?
Ah, from corporate life,
from being in the content mines? But the answer is no. Okay. The internet is forever. There are social media websites that will exist for time immemorial. We will always have something to talk about because people will always do wild things and put them online. We will just have to click around a little bit more.
Yeah, I think we would be covering LinkedIn posts more. More like unhinged. Oh, Risa Tisa on LinkedIn. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. But I guess the last question we should answer is, where do we go if TikTok doesn't exist or if we can only access it by pretending to be in Argentina?
Well, I think we have both observed that, like, every social media platform has launched some type of short form video component. So there's like Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, Snapchat Spotlight. Like, the space exists, but the usability is clearly not the same because, for example, I won't name names.
Okay.
But a boomer in my life
claims
he's on TikTok constantly. And when he showed it to me on his phone, I was like, this isn't TikTok. This is YouTube Shorts. They've just like integrated that scrolling feature where it just shows you video after video after video. But he like calls it TikTok, which made me think like, oh, TikTok has mastered this format and dug its fingers into our boomer society so deeply that it's the new Google. It's a verb.
Yes. Yeah.
And even though other apps may look and feel like TikTok, think about all the TikToks you see posted on Twitter. Like, there is such a large interface barrier where it's not as smooth. You have to be very intentional with every video because it does not autoplay. You must play it yourself. And then the engagement in the comments, the ability to stitch and respond to TikToks you hate. I mean, it is a different tone and I would say a different purpose, but what would you do? I sound like John Quiñones. What would you do if TikTok ceased to exist?
I mean, I would have to find my kick somewhere else. It's a little bit like what happened when Tumblr became weird around 2014, where I just found other online spaces to fill that void. And as you just said, TikTok has a lot of suns right now. I'm not going to be starved for short form video content. I will be frustrated that the only bit of data privacy legislation we have as consumers seems to only be targeted towards TikTok. Like, Facebook is still free to sell my data if it wants to. But basically, nevertheless, I will persist. This bill might pass in Senate. It might not pass in Senate. Joe Biden might sign it. Well, he is going to sign it. He said he's going to sign it. But until that all happens, I've been seeing this tweet circulating by @DestroyNectar, which says, what video is the reason they shouldn't ban TikTok? And I'm going to be honest, a lot of these videos are actually signs that they should ban TikTok. But that's a story for another day. But Candace, if the house of TikTok is burning and we're running out with our valuables in our arms, not taking the elevator, and you can only take one TikTok with you, which one would it be? What do you stop, drop, and rolling with?
Okay. So this is my pick. It's a TikTok of someone who was asked, just wondering, do you support LGBTQ plus? Normal question.
Of course.
And this is how he reads and reacts to said question.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Just wondering, do you support like a type of legitimate
LGBTQ.
Oh, LGBTQ. Nah, that's cool. We cool with that, right? We cool.
I love this video, the way he's just like, nah, that's cool, right? And then she's like, yes. This is a great choice. Great choice.
I love this. Okay, anyway. Rachel, what is yours?
Okay. This one has been a favorite of mine for years.
Hey, God. What's up? Hey, Angel. Did you give the dinosaurs more muscle like I asked? What? I told you to make them meatier. Make them a meteor. Meteor.
Meteor. Meteor.
Meteor? Doesn't it sound like meteor? And then yeah. They're like, what if I changed
oh
the
my
world?
God.
And they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, I do think it's funny that God knew of meat, M-E-A-T,
of course.
Before the time of the dinosaurs. Have we fact-checked that? Have dinosaurs happened before cow?
Are dinosaurs not just meat?
Damn.
We should end this episode now. Bye! All right, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe. That way you never miss an episode. Please leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @icymi_pod before they ban that too. And you can always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Sierra Spragley-Ricks, Rachel Hampton, and me, Candace Lim. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's vice president of audio. See you online.
Or in the TikTok forest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.